You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, March 30th, 2026. Stuck in. Gulf, you can't get out of. The triple whammy impacts of Iran war on refined products. Published by Housley Carr and John Hours. The ongoing conflict between the U.S. and Iran and the near total closure of the Strait of Hormuz isn't just stranding significant volumes of refined products, especially diesel, jet fuel, and naphtha, in the Persian Gulf. It's also resulting in potentially extensive and long-lasting damage to some refineries there and trapping crude oil that Asian refiners depend on to supply their own operations. The net effect is the largest disruption to the global refining sector in decades, with the exception of the demand-induced COVID lockdowns, and, depending on how long the Iran war continues, maybe ever. In today's RBN blog, we look at the multiple impacts of the conflict on global refined product markets. This is the second blog in our series about the effects of the Persian Gulf conflict that has been flaring since February 28. In Part 1, we focused on the region's NGL fractionators and NGL exports. Before the war started a few weeks ago, the Gulf countries, not counting Iran, had more than 2.7 million barrels per day of fractionation capacity, about two-thirds of it in eastern Saudi Arabia and the rest divided among Qatar, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates, or UAE. As a group, they had been exporting an average of about 1.7 million barrels per day of NGLs, including about 1.5 million barrels per day of LPG, mostly propane, some butanes, and about 200,000 barrels per day of natural gasoline and pentanes plus. We noted that virtually all the region's ethane is either rejected into natural gas or consumed domestically at petrochemical plants. Part 1 also explained that the vast majority of the Persian Gulf's exported LPG ended up in Asia, mostly in India, more than 600,000 barrels per day, and China, more than 500,000 barrels per day, and that, with the nearly complete stoppage in imports from the Gulf, India's LPG supply situation is particularly dire. We added, finally, that there is little U.S. suppliers can do to help in the near term due to limited Gulf Coast LPG export capacity and the fact that it takes at least 5 to 6 weeks to transport LPG from Texas to India. Today, we shift our focus to Persian Gulf refineries and their exports of refined products, which have been affected in the same way as exports of LPG and in many ways are more critical to global product markets. The combined capacity of non-Iranian refineries in Persian Gulf countries totals about 7 million barrels per day, including 3.3 million barrels per day in Saudi Arabia, 1.4 million barrels per day in Kuwait, 1.1 million barrels per day in the UAE, 429,000 barrels per day in Qatar, 380,000 barrels per day in Bahrain, and 280,000 barrels per day in Iraq. Importantly, Saudi Arabia's capacity is split, with 1.4 million barrels per day on or near the Persian Gulf, and therefore directly affected by the situation in the Strait of Hormuz, and 1.9 million barrels per day along the Red Sea. As we'll get to, even the kingdom's Red Sea-oriented refineries have been impacted by Iran's retaliation to U.S. and Israeli attacks. In the months before the U.S.-Iran war started, these same six countries had been exporting a total of more than 3 million barrels per day of refined products, including gasoline, naphtha, diesel, kerosene, jet fuel, and fuel oil. As you'd expect, Saudi Arabia accounted for most of those volumes, about 1.4 million barrels per day, followed by Kuwait, more than 800,000 barrels per day, the UAE, more than 400,000 barrels per day, Bahrain and Iraq, more than 250,000 barrels per day and 200,000 barrels per day, respectively, and Qatar, about 150,000 barrels per day. Diesel was generally the number one export, accounting for more than 40% of total refined product exports, followed by kerosene/jet fuel, naphtha, and fuel oil, in that order. Interestingly, there is very little finished gasoline exported from the region, and Saudi Arabia and Iraq actually require imports to meet domestic needs. This is actually causing some issues in Saudi refineries as they have to keep producing gasoline, even as they are running out of storage for the co-produced diesel, jet, and other products. As for the regions and countries receiving those volumes, about three-quarters headed for Asian markets, mostly China, India, and Japan, again, in that order, with most of the rest bound for Europe and lesser amounts shipped to Africa, primarily East Africa, and Latin America. More on the countries buying Persian Gulf refined products and crude oil in a moment. If you've been following the news, you know that the situation in the Middle East remains highly uncertain. Regarding the all-important Strait of Hormuz, The maritime choke point was typically traversed by as many as 140 energy-related vessels per day, including more than 20 refined product tankers, before the war started. It has been largely closed in recent weeks, however, with only a handful of vessels passing through each day, mostly with the blessing of the Iranian government or with their ship tracking equipment turned off. As a result of the strait's closure, and Iranian attacks on its neighbors' energy-related infrastructure, the region's refineries have been forced to shut down virtually all of their operations. Their extensive storage capacity for refined products, including more than 100 million barrels at Saudi Aramco alone, typically used to help manage export flows, is essentially full, leaving refineries little choice but to wait until the strait is reopened to some extent and product tankers can safely pass through. Adding to the crisis is the fact that several refineries have sustained damage from Iranian missiles and drones. For example, in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Aramco's 550,000 barrels per day Ras Tanura refinery has been damaged by several drone attacks. High-resolution satellite photos show impact craters and burn scars. However, our understanding is that the damage inflicted so far is relatively inconsequential and mostly limited to some storage tanks. Also, drone strikes on Aramco and ExxonMobil's 400,000 barrels per day Samref refinery along the Red Sea also reportedly caused only minor damage. In Kuwait, drone attacks caused unspecified but potentially significant damage to Kuwait National Petroleum Company's 454,000 barrels per day Mina Abdullah and 346,000 barrels per day Mina Alamadi refineries. Notably, Kuwait's largest refinery, the recently upgraded and expanded 630,000 barrels per day Al Zour complex, has not been hit to our knowledge. In Qatar, elements of the sprawling Ras Laffan industrial city have been hit hard, including two liquefaction trains at Qatar Energy's massive LNG export facility, and parts of a Qatar Energy/Shell-owned Pearl Gas to Liquids, or GTL, plant that produces condensate and naphtha. However, there are no confirmed reports of damage to the 292,000 barrels per day Laffan refinery, which is majority owned by Qatar Energy. In Bahrain, Bahrain Petroleum Companies, or BAPCO, recently expanded 380,000 barrels per day Sitra refinery. The expansion project was discussed extensively in our recently released Future of Fuels report, has been hit at least twice by Iranian missiles and drones, causing significant damage that led BAPCO to declare force majeure on exports. It would be reasonable to assume that, even if the U.S.-Iran conflict ended soon and transits through the Strait of Hormuz returned to normal, it would take some time to restore the full operational capacity of the Persian Gulf refineries to full rates, with the time frame and extent of reduced production dependent on the extent of damage inflicted by the still ongoing Iranian drone and missile attacks, with a BAPCO Sitra facility likely the most impacted. The same would likely also apply to crude oil exports. That means a serious and ongoing energy supply crisis for countries like China, India, South Korea, and Japan that for many years had depended heavily on Persian Gulf producers for their refined products and/or for Gulf crude oil to supply their refineries. China is a case in point. Prior to the war, China had been importing about 5 million barrels per day of crude oil from non-Iranian producers in the Persian Gulf, mostly from Saudi Arabia, 2.5 million barrels per day, Iraq, 1.5 million barrels per day, and Qatar, 800,000 barrels per day, plus as much as 1.5 million barrels per day from Iran. To supplement the output of its refineries, China also had been purchasing up to 700,000 barrels per day of refined products, mostly gasoline, diesel and jet fuel, from Gulf refiners. Note that China has the world's largest strategic petroleum reserve, with an estimated 1.3 billion barrels of crude oil, or more than 90 days of supply, in storage as of February. It also has the space to store 30 to 60 days of refined product supply. India, which, as we said last time, is largely dependent on Persian Gulf suppliers for LPG, has had a similar dependence on Gulf crude oil and refined products, all of them from sources other than Iran. Prior to the U.S.-Iran war, India was importing upward of 2 million barrels per day of crude oil from the region to supply its refineries and, as with China, supplementing its domestic output of refined products with imported volumes, a total of about 500,000 barrels per day from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the UAE. In response to the Persian Gulf supply challenges, China has prioritized refined product supply for domestic consumption and banned exports. It also has been buying more Russian crude oil and working with Iran to enable safe passage for more vessels through the Strait of Hormuz. India, in turn, has been scrambling to find alternative suppliers of crude oil and refined products, as have South Korea and Japan. While the challenges in shipping refined products out of the Persian Gulf are most impactful for Asia, the issue also is affecting Europe, and the rest of the world, in substantive ways. Europe imports significant volumes of jet fuel from the Persian Gulf, diesel too, as well as distillate-rich grades of crude oil that European refineries process. Meanwhile, the entire world is dealing with massive price spikes that will intensify if the Strait of Hormuz closure persists. One other thing to note is that the Persian Gulf countries, particularly UAE and Qatar, are significant suppliers of naphtha to global petrochemical producers, and the cutoff in deliveries is causing prices of naphtha to spike even higher than other refined products. This loss of naphtha feedstock, combined with the loss of LPGs, is having major impacts in petchem markets. Finally, while the U.S. Gulf Coast is a major exporter of both crude and refined products, see our weekly Crude Voyager report and our twice-a-year Future of Fuels report, and there is material ability for the region to increase exports, unlike the situation for LPG, these numbers are still small in relation to the volume of lost barrels from the Persian Gulf. We are currently facing the largest supply disruption in history, and, if it persists, impacts will continue to intensify. However, once the strait reopens, much of the lost supply will become available very quickly, though full normalization will take 3 to 4 months. We also note the world was long crude oil/products prior to the Hormuz closure, with crude prices in the $60/barrels, despite China filling its strategic petroleum reserves at a rate of more than 1 million barrels per day. We should note that any significant unplanned outages, such as the recent fire at Valero's Port Arthur, Texas, refinery, are more impactful in the currently tight markets than they would be in normal times. Fortunately, it appears that the disruption at Port Arthur will be limited and largely short-lived. The refinery is in the process of returning to mostly full operations, with only a 47,000 barrels per day diesel hydrodesulfurization unit and possibly a C5/C6 isomerization unit remaining offline for an extended period. On Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out Of, U2 wrote the music. The lyrics were written by Bono and The Edge. It appears as the second song on U2's 10th studio album, All That You Can't Leave Behind. Bono wrote the lyrics about the 1997 suicide of his friend Michael Hutchence, who was the lead singer for the band INXS. Three different videos were made for the song. The single was released in January 2001 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Adult Alternative Airplay chart and number 52 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Bono, lead vocals, synthesizers, The Edge, guitar, piano, backing vocals, Adam Clayton bass, Larry Mullen Jr., drums, Brian Eno, synthesizers, Daniel Lanois, guitar, and Paul Barrett, brass. All That You Can't Leave Behind was recorded in 2000 at HQ, Windmill Lane, Westland, and Totally Wired in Dublin, and Riviera Studios in the south of France. Produced by Daniel Lanois and Brian Eno, the album was released in October 2000 and went to number 3 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 4X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Four singles were released from the LP. U2 is an Irish rock band formed in Dublin in 1976 by singer Bono, guitarist The Edge, bassist Adam Clayton, and drummer Larry Mullen Jr. They met while attending school at Mount Temple Comprehensive School in Dublin. They played their first gig in Dublin in April 1977 and signed with CBS Ireland in August 1979. U2 has released 15 studio albums, 2 live albums, 3 compilation albums, 9 EPs, and 85 singles and sold more than 175 million records worldwide. The band has won an American Music Award, 10 Billboard Music Awards, 8 Brit Awards, 2 Golden Globe Awards, 20 Grammy Awards, 4 Ivor Novello Awards, and 6 MTV Video Music Awards, and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have received Kennedy Center honors. They continue to record and tour, and release their latest EP, Days of Ash, in February.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.